Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we continue our series of conversations with the leading candidates to be Tulsa's next mayor. Primary day in the nonpartisan election is June 28th. Yesterday we spoke with incumbent mayor Dewey Bartlett Jr., who is seeking his third term. If you missed that conversation, you can hear it at our website, publicradiotulsa.org. The same goes for today's conversation. Today, my guest is City Councilor G.T. Bynum, who has represented District 9 in the city since 2008, and he's also served as council chairman in 2011. His other main public service position was serving on the congressional staffs of former Senators Don Nichols and Tom Coburn. He joins us today to talk about his reasons for running and his top priorities confronting the next mayor of the city of Tulsa. G.T. Bynum, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been representing District 9 for several terms now in the city council. Why did you decide to run for mayor now?
You know, I've been on the city council now for 8 years. I love doing it. I love the colleagues I have on the council right now. It's a really strong group of people. But the issues that I see as the greatest issues that are facing Tulsa right now, the fact that our growth has been stagnant for 16 years, the fact that we're getting outpaced more than 2-to-1 in job growth by our nearest regional competitor, Oklahoma City, the fact that our schools need help from the city and aren't getting it, and the fact that we have a terrible working relationship with the county, which needs to be improved. These are all areas that we need a mayor, just the way our city government is set up, to take action on those things. And I like Mayor Bartlett on a personal basis. I've known him almost my whole life, but I don't have confidence that he will do anything on these issues. He's already had 2 terms to do something about it. He hasn't, and I don't have confidence that something's going to change in a 3rd term that hasn't happened already. So I decided it was time for me to run.
If elected, what would be your very top priority?
The number one priority that I see us having here in Tulsa is we've got to get growing again. If you look back in our history, in 1900, Tulsa's population was 1,400 people. In 2000, it was 395,000. So the growth was just tremendous. And a lot of people say, well, it's because you discovered oil here. But the reality is oil was discovered in a whole lot of cities in Oklahoma that didn't grow like Tulsa. And so then you think, well, what did cause it to grow that way? And I think it comes back to the types of people that happened to be here. We were very fortunate that we had people that came to Tulsa that wanted it to be a world-class city that was nationally competitive. And that was the mindset for years. That's how we became America's most beautiful city, the oil capital of the world, birthplace of the aviation industry. And I feel like in the recent past, we went from having that mindset to competing with the next city over. You know, competing, instead of competing with Austin, Denver, and Chicago and cities like that, we've been competing with Owosso and Broken Arrow and even Oklahoma City, cities that are our neighbors that we should be working with to compete at a national level. So I think the chief job that we need to focus on is reorienting our sights back to that level of national competition that the growth in the 21st century comes from, and then focusing on those roadblocks that we face right now that prevent us from being nationally competitive. And I think the foremost ones in that area are perceived educational opportunities and our antiquated form of local government between the city and the county.
Okay. Now, when you talk about stagnant growth, when you talk about population size, we really have started to grow in the last 10 to 15 years. You look at the 60s, 70s, and 80s, that was a period of stagnant growth. We were stuck at around 365, 370 for a couple of decades.
Our population in 2000 was 395,000, and the most recent count was just over 400,000 people. So we've grown about 6,000 people in 16 years. And if we had not had the growth in the Hispanic community here in Tulsa that we've had, we would have actually lost population. So I don't view that as an acceptable rate of growth. And when you look at all the issues that we face, being able to fund police and fire and street improvements and education properly, all of those go back to the fact that we're not growing at a rate that's faster than our increase in costs. Right. And so as long as you have that combination of stagnant growth, but your costs continue to go up, you're going to be on the losing side of history.
Well, of course, suburbs, the bedroom communities have grown a lot.
Absolutely.
That's very common to cities in the Midwest. You look to our north, St. Louis, it's lost maybe 300,000 people over the last 30, 40 years to the suburbs for the most part. So how do you begin growing actually within the city limits of Tulsa?
I think there's a couple things you do. One, we already have taken a big step forward by passing the Vision Initiative that had a lot of capital improvement programs that are designed to draw population back into the core part of the city. I know I was on your show during that campaign and talked about it. The value of, let's say, the BOK Center from Vision 2025. A lot of people think, oh, well, it's a great place to go see concerts. That's not the value of the BOK Center to the city of Tulsa. The value of it is that it triggered over $900 million in private investment that probably would not have occurred if you hadn't had this new venue that was drawing lots of people into downtown. We view the river as a very similar thing that people are going to see over the next 10 years. That's going to draw and drive development in the core part of the city. So that's important. But the other big one that I think is crucial is the city has to partner more proactively with our schools. So in the last 50 years, the city has largely been hands-off as it relates to education. The mindset has been, well, they have their own board. They have their own funding sources. It's their business, not the city's. Yet the educational opportunities in a city are the greatest indicator of a city's long-term success. So think about in your own life, whatever you measure success by, whatever the greatest indicator of your personal success might be, would you ever say, it's not really my business, it's somebody else's business? Of course you wouldn't. You would want to be actively involved in helping that improve and be successful. So I think we've got to partner more proactively with our schools. That's a fundamental shift from what the city's done in the past. But I think the way that we've always done it isn't working right now.
So how would you go about, you've mentioned they have their own governance, they have their own funding sources. How do you proactively work with them?
Yes, I think there are formal ways that the city can be helpful, and then there are informal ways. From a formal standpoint, we can form what a lot of cities have done, an education cabinet that the mayor convenes that has leadership from the education stakeholders in the community. So your early childhood providers to your school board presidents and your superintendents for K through 12, and then your leadership from higher ed. You pull all of them together at one table and you discuss, how do we develop an education strategy for Tulsa? And how can we be helping one another be more successful and putting kids in Tulsa in the best possible position to succeed? That's not occurring right now. There's lots of silos, and the mayor, with the convening power of that office, has the ability to pull people together. But then there are very specific things that we can do on education. I mean, right now in the Tulsa area, there are 10,000 funded early childhood development positions, but there's only 7,000 of them with kids in them. There's 3,000 vacancies because parents either don't know they are available or they don't know how to access them. Well, that's something that the city, with the communications apparatus it has at its disposal, and a mayor with their ability to galvanize a city behind a particular goal, could really help fill those positions and change those kids' lives forever by having them in that type of program. We have a very similar issue with higher education. Right now, there's a program, Oklahoma's Promise. If a family makes less than $50,000 a year, their kid can sign up their freshman year of high school. And if they keep a decent GPA, they get 4 years of college paid for. Well, right now, out of all 77 counties in the whole state of Oklahoma, Tulsa County ranks dead last in registration for that program. This is, again, something where the city can partner with our schools, not try and take over what they're doing, but be there to help. And I guess that's what I'm talking about. A lot of cities go in and try and take over the school board or run the schools themselves. I think we have experts who know a whole lot more about how to run a school than anyone at the city, and I want them to keep doing their job. But they need assistance, and the city is not assisting them today like we should be.
Probably where they need the biggest assistance is in Oklahoma City at the state capitol.
Absolutely.
So how would this, I mean, that's really where you're going to make a difference. So how would this convening board help in that
regard? I actually think with the current state of our state budget, there's a tremendous opportunity in front of us that is not usually there. So right now in Tulsa, we can pass bond issue after bond issue to build new buildings, to give every kid an iPad, even if they don't have internet connectivity at home. We can do all these things, but we can't pass something to pay our teachers anymore. We thought about doing that a few years ago with Improve Our Tulsa, and our then superintendent of Tulsa Public Schools came to us and said, don't bother because the state will just dock our allocation an equivalent amount to whatever you put in, and so you'll be subsidizing teacher pay in Guymon and Woodward. You won't be helping us in Tulsa. Well, Arkansas, just a few hundred miles to the east of us, does it differently. They have a setup where the state government at the beginning of the year says, Every school district gets X amount, but if you want to pass something locally and pay your teachers more, knock yourself out. We don't care. We haven't done that in Oklahoma before because rural areas are concerned that Tulsa and Oklahoma City will pass these big initiatives and vacuum up all the good teachers. But right now, something that weighs even more heavily on those legislators is that they're getting the lights beat out of them by people who are upset that the state isn't funding education at a proper level. So I think this presents cities across the state the opportunity, including Tulsa. And if I'm mayor, I will do this, to go to the state legislature and say, quit trying to do it all by yourself. Let local governments help. Just give us the ability to bring a local initiative forward to help subsidize teacher pay or to supplement teacher pay. Right now, we can't do it, but I think we have a rare and unique opportunity because of the budget deficits that are in Oklahoma City to get the opportunity to do it.
Well, let's talk about some other issues confronting the next mayor. Budget priorities in another tight year where you're seeing sales tax projections below estimates, below what was budgeted.
Yes.
What would be your priorities to saving and making sure that there are no cuts given a very tight budget, which might result in cuts down the road?
Yeah, my top priority the whole time I've been on the city council has always been to adequately fund public safety, because I think that's the foremost responsibility of a city government. And then from there, do everything you can to adequately fund other departments and other levels. That being said, one thing that I've had the opportunity to participate in is a program focused on outcomes-based budgeting for cities. You know, most business people, when I tell them that this is a brand new cutting-edge idea for city government, they laugh. But the notion is that you fund city programs based on the outcome you're trying to achieve, not what you funded it at last year. So you continually reevaluate which strategies are working and which are not. And those that you can see, oh, we are actually making a difference by deploying this strategy, put more money into it. And if you can't define that you're making any difference funding a different program, you defund it. This is something that it's only been going on in cities about 5 or 6 years now. Tulsa could be a national leader in this regard, and it helps you focus the city's resources on those areas where you can make the greatest impact rather than necessarily who has the squeakiest wheel or where the greatest political influence is, but more based on where can the city measurably make a better impact.
So now I'm going to put you on the spot. You've been on the council. You've seen how the appropriation process goes.
Yes.
Who is getting a much better outcome bang for the buck among city departments, and who's a laggard?
That's the problem right now, is we're not measuring that in any useful way. We collect a lot of data at the city, but it's not translated into the budget process. And that's what, as the mayor, I want us to be doing. We should be doing it. We can be doing it, but we're not. I also want to say, this goes back to my whole point about the greatest issue facing Tulsa, is that we're not growing. If we were growing at a reasonable rate, we wouldn't be facing this issue where we're having to decide who gets cut the most every year. Instead, we'd be focused on where can we allocate new resources that are coming in the best way. I want us to get back to that mindset, but you can't do that until you have a city that's focused on growth rather than winning parochial fights, beating the county on the jail issue, or besting Broken Arrow or Jinx in something. We need to be focused on beating out other cities for economic growth and population growth.
Would you say that the city's mindset at this point, given the passage of the Renewal Vision 2025, is on the right path as far as what you're seeing in other big cities that are making a difference? They're investing in their city. Instead of trying to lower the taxes to the lowest level, they're making capital improvements to their city to not only attract new businesses, but for quality of life for the citizens within the city.
Now, a few years ago, Councilor Phil Lakin and I went around and met with the CEOs of some of the largest companies in the city. And the purpose of it was to ask them, what can we do at the city to help your company grow and stay here? And I was expecting them to say, oh, we want you to build us a building and lease it to us for $1 a year or something like that. To a T, what they said was, we need you to make this the kind of place that we can get somebody who's graduating from a school here in Oklahoma or UT or Northwestern or Stanford or Princeton to want to come to work in Tulsa versus going to work in some other city where our competitors are based. Because that's the greatest challenge for businesses growing here in Tulsa right now, is recruitment and retention. So I think the passage of vision was a tremendous vote of confidence in that type of approach and will put us in a much better chance to be successful. But that is a focus on getting those recent college graduates to come here. And we have to be mindful that they're not going to be in their 20s forever. Eventually, they're going to get married and have kids and think about where they want to live. And that's when they start focusing on your educational system.
Sure.
And right now, way too many folks that hit that barrier decide that they're moving out of town to go in a different school district. That's why I think it's so important that we have a city government that is focused on partnering with our schools to put them in a chance to be successful.
My guest today is City Councilor for District 9, G.T. Bynum, who is a mayoral candidate running to be the next mayor of the city of Tulsa on June 28th. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Yesterday, we spoke with incumbent Mayor Dewey Bartlett, and you can hear both their conversations online as well. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. You mentioned about the county and the city-county relationship. We do have disputes over the jails between the city and the county. In other places, that relationship is actually progressing somewhat better. You're talking about a merger of park systems. What do you see the relationship with you think that's not a good idea?
No, I actually think it's a great idea, but people have been talking about that for about 30 years, and it still hasn't happened. I think that the issues relative to the relationship between the city and the county right now are a function of the fact that we're working within a system of government that was created over 100 years ago when Tulsa County was a rural county, when the city of Tulsa and Broken Arrow had a couple hundred people between them, and were separated by a dozen miles of farmland. And the reality is, 100 years ago, Tulsa County provided all these sort of services countywide. And then as the last 100 years have gone by, you've had city after city pop up and grow and start providing a lot of similar services, but in a more localized way. And yet the county continued to provide those legacy services too. And so today in 2016, there's a lot of overlap, a lot of duplication, and I think most destructively, a lot of fighting over who gets the tax money to provide those services. So that's really what I think the fight over the jail is about. It's not about what it costs to house an inmate per night. That's an accounting function. It's a fight over who gets to call the shots on the jail tax. Same thing when you look at the city of Tulsa fighting with Jinx or Broken Arrow over who's going to get the next retail outlet. It's because we want the sales tax here versus it being over there because we're so reliant on it. Well, I would like us to take a step back and instead of just assuming that we have to work within this system that's a century old, think about what system makes the most sense in the 21st century. How can we provide the best customer service in 2016 rather than in 1916? And I think that that requires us to go through function by function, sit down with the county, sit down with the suburbs and say, who can do this best this year and moving forward, knowing that we've all done just a fabulous job leading up to this, but moving ahead, who can do the best job? And if that means that that's a merger of city and county government, I think that ought to be on the table for discussion. There's two approaches there. You can just do the wholesale merger, or you can do it function by function. And I think we ought to discuss both and see which we think we can accomplish. I visited with all three county commissioners about this. All three of them agree it's something that needs to happen, but their relationship with Mayor Bartlett has unfortunately just been torched over this jail deal. There's not an ability to negotiate in good faith there. I'm thankful I've maintained a good working relationship with our county commissioners, and I'm confident that we can work out an agreement moving ahead that will eliminate a lot of these distractions that prevent our local leaders from being focused on competing nationally and instead are competing with each other locally.
But there are an awful lot of parochial interest for both not on the part of the county, on the city, and on the Broken Arrows, the Jinx, the Owassos, the Sand Springs, and everybody in between. Everybody has their vested interest in keeping tax dollars coming into their community. How do you overcome that?
Well, and Rich, just so I'm very upfront here, I'm only running for mayor because I think we need a mayor who's focused on big goals. If we were just going to be focused on small goals and whatever is easy, I wouldn't be running. I would just stay on the city council because I like being there. But I think that we're in a moment in the history of the city where we need somebody who's willing to challenge us to do better and focus on greater goals. You know, fixing education in Tulsa and fixing the relationship between the city and county and overhauling our former local government are both very audacious goals for someone running for office. But I think that's what citizens ought to expect of someone that's running for mayor, You shouldn't expect someone to just say, well, we'll just, you know, deal with whatever happens to come up in the next 4 years. That's not leadership. Leadership is identifying where we need to go and being willing to pull people together. I did that on the River Initiative. People talked about that for half a century. Well, finally, I led the initiative that got it passed. I think we need that same kind of mindset in these areas if we want Tulsa to be the kind of city that grows.
Glad you mentioned the river, because I want to ask you about your own personal vision, or what you hope the city will adopt as a vision for the river from when it enters our jurisdiction, coming in from the west,
yes,
till it leaves towards Bixby and Broken Arrow. How do we determine what that vision is? Because we've seen huge fights over, like, the proposed sale of a portion of Helmer Park for,
yep,
retail development. What do you see your own personal vision of the river?
Well, I would say, first of all, I view the river as it's not just the water there. You know, most cities, when they look at river development, they have a river that has water in it, and then their shoreline is old industrial wasteland that needs to be cleaned up. And we have the exact opposite. We have an amazing shoreline with river parks and city parks, and then we have no water in the river. And so now we are going to have, in the next 5 to 8 years, we're going to have two lakes created. And I view those as magnets for both outdoor recreation and strategically placed development. And we anticipated this before citizens ever voted on the River Initiative. We actually started about 2 years ago now. We brought together a group of urban planners here locally and citizens that were interested, and asked them, put together an overall land use plan for the river corridor in Tulsa if we had these lakes in place. And they spent a great deal of time putting that plan together. They took it to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission approved it. And now, actually, the council approved the overall plan just recently. Now we're at the stage of going in and looking at our zoning code and how it impacts it at a more granular level, and we'll have to vote on that later this year. But that plan, which was developed in a public way with local experts, I think represents a good balance between having development in key areas but not destroying the overall treasure that we have there in both the parkland and the river. We should be viewing all of that as one asset. It's not, well, we have these lakes here and now we can ruin the shoreline. That would be foolhardy. We need to view it all as one asset.
And say the development on the proposed development in Helmerich Park, was that,
yes,
was that a part, was that labeled as retail? Or,
well,
is that where you see somebody says, I would like to do this, and all of a sudden the plans go out the window?
And actually, that is one of the reasons that we developed this plan, because what you don't want to have is what's happened there at Helmerich Park, where I feel bad for the developer in this case. You know, they were told by the mayor's administration that, oh, we've got this piece of land, you guys should invest a lot of time and money in coming up with your plans. And then they get here to Tulsa and just walk into a buzzsaw because the mayor's office didn't lay the groundwork, didn't do the public interaction or public discussion around it, tried to do it through an authority that has little to no citizen attendance at their meetings. And so that, I think, is what's caused so much of the uproar. The citizens have paid, they paid for part of that land, and they have paid for the maintenance of it for decades. They ought to have a say in what happens with it. The purpose of this plan is to create greater predictability, both for the citizens, so they know what areas we're thinking about as a community for development to occur, so they're not caught by surprise, but also for developers, so that they don't spend a bunch of time and money developing plans and then have it run into what we've seen at Helmerich Park. I think that's a more fair approach.
My guest today is G.T. Bynum, a District 9 city councilor who's running for mayor on June 28th, as we continue our conversations with the major candidates for mayor here on Studio Tulsa. One last question on economic development. Right now, when you look around the city, there are a lot of entrepreneurs that are,
yes,
opening small businesses, many in the Brady District, in the Pearl District, and in a lot of places that really haven't seen it, a lot of development of new businesses along with some of our established corridors within the city. And it seems like it's a good time for entrepreneurs. But really, to make those a success, you got to create more demand. Otherwise, it's just taking from some other part of the city the demand from those new businesses. So what would you do different to try to get the next large employer, that sort of difference-making employer on the demand side to support those entrepreneurs.
Yeah, it's really interesting. If you look at the S&P 500 companies in 1958, their average lifespan was 64 years. And today it's 18 years. So the velocity of change at the corporate level, the creative destruction that occurs there is just tremendous. In the 21st century, you can't count on having a couple big employers that will always be here. So you need to have, in my mind, a city needs to accept that as reality and prepare accordingly, which means having an educated workforce, which is why education is, it's an economic development policy for us as much as anything. But then also, I do think one thing we've done very well here in Tulsa in the last 10 to 15 years is encouraging that entrepreneurial culture, encouraging the growth of companies that start here and grow here. You know, I had the great opportunity just a few months before he passed away to spend 2 days interviewing John Williams for a book. And he reminded me that when he took over that company, it was a regional bridge contractor. Seriously, if you recall down on Riverside, the overpass there at River Parks that's since been taken out, that bridge that linked into the pedestrian bridge, the Williams Brothers Bridge Company built that. Well, John Williams built that company up over 30 years from being a regional bridge builder into one of the largest energy companies in the world. We need people like that. We need to be attracting people like that to Tulsa to build the next great companies that will stay here. I'm not a big believer in thinking that you can go buy companies to come here and just pay them off. I mean, that needs to be part of your strategy, I guess, as far as trying to lure them here with our quality of life, the quality of our schools, the quality of our educated workforce. But more importantly, we need to be helping the companies that are here, the small businesses, grow. So that's a big part of my strategy and will be as mayor.
All right. Well, June 28th is rapidly approaching. I give you a chance for a closing statement. Why should Tulsa voters choose you on June 28th to be the next mayor of the city of Tulsa?
Tulsans should choose me as the next mayor because I'm focused on pulling our city together and aiming high again. I'm mindful of the fact that a guy that looks as young as I do is running for mayor. People assume it's a ladder climbing exercise, but I come from a family that believes that serving as mayor is the highest calling in elected office because there's no job that you can do in elected office where you have a greater impact on the daily lives of people that you love. So I have zero interest in running for anything else after this. I just want to be a great mayor for Tulsa. I also don't think anybody ought to serve in the job more than two terms. One of the things I think you're seeing in this current election is that if somebody wants to serve more than two terms, they start defending the status quo. Rather than being able to, you know, they want to convince everyone that everything's just fine. Whereas I think you need to have new people coming in every couple of terms that can say, you know what, yeah, we're doing good in these areas, but we can do better in these others and have a willingness to challenge us to aim higher. That's what I intend to do as mayor.
G.T. Bynum, thanks very much for your time today.
Great, thank you.
District 9 City Councilor G.T. Bynum speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He's a candidate to be the next mayor of the city of Tulsa. Primary day is coming up on Tuesday, June 28th. If you missed a portion of today's conversation or you missed yesterday's conversation with incumbent mayor Dewey Bartlett, they're both available to listen to online anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.